You wonder if it was just a beautiful dream. The day that you met the woman in the ruins, who pulled you against her, who eagerly took your number, your address that you wanted to visit, who knew you in every bit of yourself, who showed you new things about yourself. Her beauty fills your mind, haunts you. Her wings, her tendrils, her kiss, the feel of her skin, the smell of the air around her, filled with raw manna in a way you've never encountered it before. When you returned to the city, you resolved you would simply go back to the ruins sometime if you had to, but she said not to bother. She said she was coming for you. And a little while ago, yesterday, you finally decided that a few weeks without hearing from her was long enough she might need reminding. But the ruins are closed up. The front door bolted closed with a sign that, after a little bit of impromptu translation homework, you realize says, "Guardian temporarily on vacation. Back in 100 years. Having seen that, a self-deprecating part of you thought, oh, she had something else to do. Oh, I was forgettable. I am mortal, or at least mortal enough compared to her. But the way she communicates doesn't really leave much room for doubt. You remember the angelic visage, the tendrils weaving and winding into your body, stealing away stress, uniting your purpose with hers. You long to feel it again. You get home after another long day. The school left behind you. An evening ahead. You consider revisiting her temple again, seeing if she'd stop back in, or if one of the local amorphous shape-shifting creatures has any information on where the guardian of that shrine traveled to. But instead, you mope around. You walk into the bathroom, dropping your bag outside. Look at yourself in the mirror, your eyes a little glazed as you reminisce about the angelic figure, the Illyrian who took you into her arms, until where she stopped and you began became a dubious thing. You allow yourself to long for her while drinking in the water, while gently, gradually washing away the day. And then, preparing for an evening in, looking down into the basin, clear water. The drum and the drone, water, then cool against your face. You weren't worthy of her, you guess. She wasn't really interested. She must have ran off somewhere else if she closed up the temple like, hey, those aren't your thoughts. She was legitimately interested. You know she actually cared. You could feel it. She must have just gotten busy or lost or something. You pass. A voice hissing from the mirror above. You startle back from the sink, only a little, because the face is familiar. Yellow, slit-pupiled eyes, cat-like in their nature, in a red-brown, blood-hued, in fact, scaled face. The draconic professor from the school. Anya reaches out one hand, which passes through your mirror, extending slightly lighter red palm up. Long black talons, you look at them critically. They recede. Well, are you going to come with me? She is waiting. If you doubted yourself, I'd have left you here. Her hand grasps your wrist, not really allowing much more time to wait, but given the promise in question. You don't mind being pilled through the chill, dark surface of a mirror into a corridor ringed with shards of glass. The floor is flat and smooth, at least, but moving along it, you see glimpses. People all throughout the city, and even in more distant places, you actually see one of those shards looks up out of the river full of slimes that you encountered previously when you were visiting the gorgeous woman that you now are going to meet. You knew it the second the dragon's hand closed on your wrist. Some quick-felt impression. Empathic, emphatic. you're going to the right place, and so you follow, and you follow quickly. You follow without diversion, which is good, because the dragon needs time, pausing and glimpsing, not here, not this one, through mirror after mirror. No. You feel dark fingers pressing toward you, but for as long as you're held in the palm of her hand, one of her nails accidentally scratches your wrist, leaving a burn that quickly vanishes. The professor pulls you forward. She's wearing little more than a silky nightgown. And when she pulls you after her, you do catch a glimpse of more than you thought you would. That's when you notice that the longer the two of you stride on, the darker it gets. Steam is rising from the dragon's scales, from inside of them, her digitigrade feet pressing and gnashing on the smooth stone floor of the mirrored corridor. Finally, she finds a mirror shard, grips the edge of it with her other clawed hand, and pulls it wide. The faintly organic squelch as she does so is a little disturbing, but she pushes you through ahead of her, and then runs through after you, sliding across, yes, you, she sets down carefully on the tiled floor of a bathroom, but she slides across the counter and then splats against the wall, splat because some dark ichor has begun to bubble up behind the red-yellow heat under her scales. Panting, she rises and yanks the door open, gesturing toward the living room. Out, out. You do as she says because in the moment she did rise and pull, tug, in, yes, a room covered in shards and slivers of glass. You see that her eyes are not the yellow cat pupils of before, but dark voids dotted with stars. She shoves you out, but you've seen enough to know exactly what's going on. Doesn't matter, though, because the second you are out the door, you are warmly scooped up in what appears to be a well-appointed living room by a woman in a halo of light, her breasts pressed to your face, and she's quick to push you between them, both arms around you, and then, a moment later, two more, and then two more, as she hugs you intensely, her shape-shifting faculties allowing her to just decide to really crush you to her bosom. Kisses rain on the top of your head. Her hair falls around you both, and she's just lifting you up the wall, pushing your back against it for leverage, lifting you effortlessly like it's nothing. She's still 2 feet taller than you easily. You do see the room over her shoulder when she eventually raises you up to kiss your neck and cheek instead. You see tears running down her cheeks, but she quickly wipes them away with a fair hand that you see has come from her shoulder, morphing the slime-like body of the Illyrian, taking solid enough form to hold you, jiggly flesh that feels like any other mortal, but you know there's more to her. An indirect contact you feel, a sudden outpouring of relief, relief that washes thoughts away, relief that forms a void at the center of you and says, oh, that's nice, finally, together, with, bonded, connected. But you see over her shoulder, a living room, a red leather couch, and beyond it, comfortable mahogany desk with 2 laptops on it. There's a kitchen table covered in notes and scribbles, and a huge backpack in the corner that seems like it goes out the door more often than not based on the fact it's ripped open and being restocked. You see dried food next to it and other supplies. And in the garden beyond the Illyrian, you're focusing on irrelevant details, completely surprised to see this woman again at all, because though you didn't have doubt, or else Anya wouldn't have pulled you in through the mirror in the first place, you were missing her. In the garden beyond, you see a slime girl like one of the ones you met on the way to the temple, and various much smaller slimes milling about, sitting next to a burbling fountain. The ground around it is cracked like the fountain extruded itself, and you know that is a branch of magic, rather than being an inbuilt feature. The house is nice. It's got a little fenced-in yard, and oh, who are you kidding? You can't resist any longer. You grip her gently to you, pull her hair a little so she tilts her head up because she is still holding you off the ground with 4 of her arms, and meet her lips deeply, closing your eyes tight to prevent any of your own tears from flowing. She hugs you to her again, and then drops you on the couch unceremoniously, splays over you, I want to lay on you. She purrs it. She whispers it. She whimpers it. And then she does it, covering you in her softness. The two of you twined together there, a heat rising in you already because you know that behind the empathically felt relief at your presence, there is a desire she's had since the two of you coupled together in the temple. She's just laying on you now. I couldn't find you. I tried to find you. I couldn't find you. You ask what happened to the number you gave her, the address. I lost it. It got wet. It turned into water to travel, and it just kind of... She holds up a crumpled, soggy thing from a nearby table. Kind of got like this, and then I cried on it, so I really wasn't getting anything out of it after that. And then I was told I couldn't cry anymore. You sit up a little and help her sit next to you, which does take some effort because she's very strong. You ask what she means by weren't allowed, and, well, she gestures to the garden, the slimes merrily drinking dew from the evening plants that are blooming open, rising from the ground. Too much mana. I'm supposed to name them, and then I'm allowed. You have a little laugh. It appears that she really is a font of life. And then you actually can't keep yourself from sliding into her lap. It just feels right. She's happy with it, your head resting back between her breasts, her arms folding around you. With. Together.